Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
At the start of the pandemic, author Jana Magruder wrote that the self-isolation we are heading into, while necessary, could make lonely people feel even more lonely. I'm Martha Manikas Foster, and all these months later, we're checking in with Jana Magruder on this Family Life Inside Out podcast. Magruder serves as the director of Lifeway Kids. That's where she uses her experience in children's ministry, education, and publishing to develop children's ministry materials. Welcome, Jana, to Inside Out.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm looking forward to your perspective on this, because at the beginning of the self-isolation, when we learned about the pandemic and we were going purposefully indoors and we were isolating ourselves, there was already knowledge out there that you had, that you found in research, that others had done about how the loneliness in our culture was pretty significant, even before we did that self-isolation. What is it that you knew?
Yes. So my team and I have done some research by looking at some studies that I've done, especially from the Cigna healthcare study. Uh-huh. I like to quote that one because we know that they make it their business, of course, to know these things so that they can have a chance to influence the health of the participants and their health insurance. So what they say in their most recent study is that almost half of United States adults report sometimes or always feeling lonely. So that in itself is considered to be epidemic level. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like an epidemic meets a pandemic.
Yeah.
And also, not surprisingly, it's not just a United States problem, even though this is a United States study. It's not just an American crisis. For example, the United Kingdom has a minister to loneliness to help combat it in Britain. Mm-hmm. And it spans all age groups as well, according to this study. You know, sometimes we think of the lonely among us being the elderly among us. Mm-hmm. Well, really, this study flips it. And while every age demographic has pervasive loneliness in it, mm-hmm. it's the youngest among us in the adult population. So the youngest would be Gen Z, mm-hmm. who are the 18 to 22-year-olds that are the loneliest.
Mm. It would be really, really easy, like knee-jerk easy, to say that's because they're always on their devices or something like that. Does the Cigna study say why, or do other studies say why we're so lonely and why the youngest are the most lonely?
There are certainly many signs that point towards technology. As we know, Gen Z, we consider to be digital natives, so mm-hmm. they've never known a world, really, without the internet. Whereas millennials can probably remember that time, even if they were younger. Gen Z has always known of the internet. Many of them were given a device at a very young age. Mm-hmm. Part of that is because adults were just figuring out this smartphone thing, and what felt like, oh, here, young toddler or preschooler, why don't you play this game on an iPad while, you know, mm-hmm. while we're shopping or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think unknowingly kind of helped it along. And so that's why it's a conundrum, really, because our Gen Zers just had access to smart devices for as long as they can remember. And then you add social media to it and gaming mm-hmm. and you've got kids who are pretty quickly addicted to a device.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about this a little bit later in our conversation, because those devices can connect us, right? But they can also
Correct.
Be so incredibly isolating. So for
Yes.
people who are just joining us, I'd like to let you know that you're listening to the Inside Out podcast on Family Life. I'm talking today about loneliness and the pandemic with Jana Magruder. Jana, you saw right away that people would need to be proactive to prevent that self-isolation we were going into from feeding the feelings of loneliness. Part of our conversation here about devices will probably be part of your answer, but what did you recommend at the start of the pandemic, and what would you add to that recommendation now that we've lived through so much of this pandemic?
Yes, great question. So in the article that I originally wrote, I offered a warning and an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So the warning was basically what we were just talking about, to not double down on technology and media, mm-hmm. which is no doubt happening, honestly.
Sure.
So, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic and really ongoing, we have more time on our hands than we used to in some ways. Mm-hmm. And so that, coupled with the anxiety of the whole situation of having a pandemic that we're living through, I know started off, I'm just going to use myself as an example. Okay. I was very curious, checking my news outlets mm-hmm. and social media for constant updates on mm-hmm. COVID. And
sure.
what is this and what is it doing to us and what's shutting down and what is the future going to be like? And so it started off with watching press releases and charts and bell graphs and all those things.
Oh, I think I have seen every Anthony Fauci interview ever recorded.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we were, as a culture, we were doubling down. My warning was to not double down, but we, in some ways, had to use that to our advantage to just kind of get the lay of the land of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. However, I think deep down, what I really wanted the reader of this to understand was it's going to be real tempting to isolate and watch Netflix mm-hmm. and stay on social media longer mm-hmm. and to maybe even obsess over the news and the fake news and trying to sort through all of that. Mm-hmm. We have three teenagers at my house, two boys and a girl, and my boys are gamers, mm-hmm. as are many of their
right.
friends and peers. And so in some ways, I was a little bit lenient on how much time they could stay on their games because that was a social outlet. Mm-hmm. So playing games now is not just actually only playing the game. They've got friends that they meet up almost like what we used to do as a play date. Mm. They're doing virtually. And so if I took that away from them completely, they would all of a sudden have no interaction
right.
because nobody was able to gather or certainly come over for, you know, a play date or that kind of thing at the beginning. And so, yeah, so the temptation was and is to double down on technology. And I'm using that as a broad stroke for social media, for gaming, mm-hmm. for news outlets, and that kind of thing. So what we inevitably saw, though, was working from home, many of us,
right.
and then schooling at home mm-hmm. meant you had to be on technology.
Right.
So all of a sudden, technology allowed us to ride through this. And I realize your listeners are probably from multiple regions, so this could mean different things to different people, but I'm going to use my context in Nashville.
Okay.
So our schools are still virtual. And they are planning to stay virtual for at least till November for middle schoolers and January for high schoolers.
Okay.
And so I know that a lot of your listeners may be back in school mm-hmm. or back at work.
Right.
But because of where we live and we're still in a metropolitan area, it's still in phase two. My husband and I are still working at home. Mm-hmm. All three children are doing virtual school. Mm-hmm. And so that turns into something to navigate as well, because they're on the screen all day doing school, but they're also wanting to be on a screen to connect with friends.
Right, that adds up.
And so that was my warning.
Yeah, right.
And so what we didn't know then that we know now is that we're certainly going to have to double down on technology, but that requires even more intentionality on what can we control about that. We can certainly control how long we linger on social media, how many shows we binge watch mm-hmm. on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And the point being is, don't isolate from perhaps your own family in your household and perhaps an opportunity to reach out to a neighbor. There are ways to do that safely.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, most of us agree that we can gather small with, you know, some things in place like masks or social distancing and things like that with mm-hmm. extra precautions. Mm-hmm. So let's not miss those opportunities because we've just gotten so addicted to watching shows and social media.
So basically,
I would add that
yes.
to the warning.
Yes, okay. So don't choose digital over actual when you can arrange actual. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that leads me really to the opportunity that I originally proposed mm-hmm. was to connect in a creative way. So at the beginning of the pandemic, we were pretty much on a lockdown, all of us.
Right.
And that really did mean we're not gathering.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to see anyone. And so how can we connect in a creative way? Well, the opportunity, in my opinion, is, especially if you have family members in your household, is to kind of buy back some of that time that a lot of us parents thought that we lost to the devices, and really have a time to just kind of overcorrect some of those months, even years, that we've been raising kids with too much technology.
Uh-huh.
And so we've tried to do a little bit of that at my house. We've had, you know, more family dinners and better discussions. I've even brought out some discussion cards. Of course, the culture that we live in right now, depending on your age, the ages of your children, since I have teenagers, we're actually able to discuss, you know, the pandemic and what that's doing
sure.
to the culture. We're actually able to discuss, dare I say, the election, things like that,
right.
in a way that is more meaningful and helps educate better than, you know, your local news outlet or your national news outlet.
Uh-huh.
So connect in creative ways. And so certainly start with the people that live with you and then go right outside to the people who live around you. Like I said, there are ways to connect. I've seen all kinds of things of people connecting with their neighbors out in front yards, out in the cul-de-sacs, whether it's just bringing out a camp chair and, you know, bring your own snack so you don't have to worry about food preparation and the safety precautions there, and just talk.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that we have kind of lost the art of. We've lost the art of neighboring. We've lost the art of a family meal that we linger over a little bit longer. And quite frankly, a lot of things, activities have been canceled. Even if kids are back at school, not all the activities are back.
Right.
And so
right.
we're buying back some of that meaningful time, which to me is an unprecedented, sorry about that word that everybody keeps using, but it's an unprecedented opportunity to be able to buy back time. They say you can't roll back time,
mm-hmm.
but all of a sudden we're looking at an opportunity to kind of redeem, I guess I've used that word,
mm-hmm.
redeem some of that time
so
back.
So I think part of what I'm hearing you saying is like bring back the front porch.
That's right.
So the way to talk with neighbors, even though all the neighbors won't fit on the front porch, but somebody on the front porch and somebody in the yard, however you do that.
That's right.
But bring back the front porch. And then at least I know when my children were teenagers, a lot of my friends in the same age group were saying, you know, you really lose your kids at about 15 because after school, you know, they have so many activities and then they get to school early
right.
for jazz band and that kind of thing. And
right.
you right now and other people who have teenagers at home have an opportunity, albeit for unfortunate reasons, but you have an opportunity to have more hours for the kind of bonding and for all the work that goes into helping to launch children as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So Jana, we know that people are lonely, and we know that even if people are doing some of these things right, even if they're limiting their hours on Netflix, and even if they're limiting how much they're listening to news or getting, you know, deep into their games, it's an environment for loneliness. It's set up for loneliness. And
yeah.
so a lot of people listening are lonely. Do you have words of encouragement that you could send to the people who are listening?
Well, this one is going to sound a little tongue-in-cheek and clearly obvious, but you're not alone in that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The Cigna studies that we just referenced, that's pre-pandemic. And so just as a reminder, we're already struggling in this category. With the pandemic, it is likely that those numbers have gone way up. And so you are definitely not alone in your loneliness. So know that other people are feeling the same way you do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does that help? That helps you know that if you pick up the phone and call someone, they are not going to think that you're desperate.
Uh-huh.
They are going to be glad that you called.
Mm-hmm.
I have connected with so many just friends from my past by picking up the phone. That's another thing we've lost the art of, is a phone call and letter writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so write a letter or find a card and use snail mail to send someone some encouragement, because more than likely they are lonely too, and they're going to be so glad that you called them or wrote to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we start reaching out of ourselves, that helps us with our own feelings of loneliness. And then I keep going back to that social media thing, because I know it's not just the Gen Z kids who are on social media.
Right.
Every age demographic has one or two favorite platforms, let's say, that they like to scroll. Let's just call it scrolling.
Okay.
When we continue to scroll that social media and look at other people's lives, that comparison culture is brutal.
Mm.
And so if you're doubling down and you're doing that more because you have more time on your hands, or you've just gotten more addicted, let's say,
mm-hmm.
then what you're doing is you're not living your life. You're watching someone else live their life.
Mm-hmm.
And really what that person is putting out on social media, I mean, we all do this. We put the best part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, that person has got it all together. That person is not suffering like I am. That person has no problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sure. because they're not going to put that out there. They're only going to put the very best out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are just being extremely passive and watching that, then all of a sudden you're living their life, not your own. You're living their Instagram life, which is really false.
Right.
And then you start just believing lies, like, I have no life. Everybody else has a life except me. And when we start believing those lies, we can really get downtrodden and depressed and even more lonely. And that makes you want to isolate even more.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice is to know that as we navigate this together, and that's been a common message that I keep hearing, you know, we're in this together. We've got to take care of one another. So even in the midst of your own lonely feelings, push yourself to reach out to someone, whether that's the person next door, whether that's the people in your house, whether that's phone calls and letters to loved ones that live far away that you're not going to get to see during the pandemic. Do that. And this is where technology can actually serve you in a good way. You can do a Zoom call, which I know for those of us who are working at home are a little fatigued up.
Right.
but I've been doing a Zoom call with my old high school friends. And so just to see their faces and their kids in the background, we don't do that when we're not in a pandemic. And I live thousands of miles away from them. And same with my parents. They live out in a different state. And so, you know, my kids, I encourage them to FaceTime with them more, or just talk on the phone or write letters more, connect with people in a variety of ways. This is an opportunity to do that. And no one's going to think that you're desperate or sad, because they're actually feeling the same way.
Mm. And so frequently, the way that Christ reaches us in the everyday is through someone else who is flesh and blood. I mean, the Spirit can
Absolutely.
Comfort and does comfort in mysterious and, you know, disembodied ways, if we can say it that way. But most often, the times that I think of God intervening in my life, it is through one of the people who love Him and who He has shown that love to, and the way that they reach out to me. And so you're saying some of that same thing.
Absolutely. And be the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Be the body of Christ and the church, especially when the church, you know, there's the capital C church, be the church. But while our churches, individual churches, are struggling to find their footing,
mm-hmm.
let's not stop being the church during, you know, times where we can't meet, or we're doing church online, or, you know, we're doing outside church, and the temptation might be, I don't want to go back until everything's back to normal. I would caution against that as well. Your church family can all of a sudden become more personal in your life than ever before, because exactly what you said, we have a shared belief system, and we know that our strength and our comfort comes from Jesus. And so when we have that in common, we certainly can stand in the gap for one another.
Mm. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for the analysis, the big picture, as well as the more specific. Thank you so much for all of that and for talking with me today, Jana, here on Inside Out.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure, Martha.
My guest has been Jana Magruder. You'll find links to her March 2020 article, When Loneliness Meets Self-Isolation, right where you find Inside Out podcasts at fln.org/insideout. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.